Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Why is it, do you think, that the longest of the Ten Commandments gets the least amount of attention? Now, while you check your Bibles to see which one is actually the longest.
Trying to go through them all now.
We will talk about that in a few minutes. That's going to be our focus today here on Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Great to have you along with us today. Ted Ross at the controls and Carissa Rogers at the phones. And, Ted, it was, kind of a sad weekend again, wasn't it?
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah. The news, it seems like there's one story that comes out, then there's another one, There's another one. When's it going to stop? And that's what everybody's asking now.
I was away. My wife and I were away over the weekend at a wedding, and so with family most of the time, kind of isolated from the news. And it was just sort of jarring again to come back and hear about the increased protesting, police officers injured in St. Paul some overnight trying to close down the freeway.
Right, yeah.
That was sad to hear. Derwin Gray, appreciate his comments on Dr. Bill Maher Live this morning, reminding us that, you know, we can't isolate and overlook, which is something that we're kind of willing to do. Dr. Richard Land was a guest this morning as well with Bill, and he said, I think we've gone about as far as we can go with the laws. To go the next level will require the church to lead.
That's it, and that's the unifying factor is Jesus. You know, really, it comes down to that.
A great article in the Christianity Today, just out, email last week, talked about why my grief belongs on the internet. It was talking about public lament. It's more than just another hot take or social media rant. And it was Jamar Tisby had written a very insightful article, and that, you know, we need to allow, you know, people to express their concerns. But how do we do that, right?
Yeah, in a healthy, safe way.
And I was reading the news as well about South Sudan facing deadly violence. You know, a reminder that Syrians and Nigerians and so many others live in lawlessness every day and what that must feel like. I don't know that I would do well in that environment.
Yeah, so. For a lot of us, you know, we hear these terrible news stories that are coming out and we go back kind of to our quote-unquote comfy lives, and it's not the case for places like you're talking about there.
And one of the we often, when my wife and I travel, listen to message series, and we listen to a message by Alistair Begg in the book of Daniel, and looking at Daniel 9, if you recall that passage, it's where Daniel prays to the Lord and confesses. And I was just looking at some of the words of that important chapter. You may want to look that up. Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We've been wicked and have rebelled. We've turned away from your commands and laws. We've not listened to your servant, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Sounds pretty common today, doesn't it? Lord, you're righteous, but this day we're covered with shame because of our unfaithfulness to you, because we have sinned against you. And he goes on to say, therefore, the curses and the sworn judgments have been poured out on us because we've sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing us on us great disaster. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, and yet we have not obeyed him. And then he concludes his prayer. He said, now, Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away from your anger and your wrath. Hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. Listen, Lord. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, God, do not delay. And that would be a good prayer for us today, I think, and every day.
Yeah, every day. Absolutely right.
Starts with confession, and we recognize that, you know, even as God's people, we have not lived as we should. Some encouragement to pray today from John Stone Street, as well as two other things that we can do. Let's hear the point next.
Can we make sense of this cultural chaos? For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Last week seems like a bad dream, with the shooting deaths of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Philando Castile in Minnesota, and five police officers in Dallas. The bewilderment I see reminds me of the days following 9/11, only this time we're not reeling from attacks from without, but from the brokenness within. Our society's not okay, and it hasn't been for quite a while. As Alexander Solzhenitsyn said in 1978, the smooth surface film of our society is thin indeed, with only illusions of stability and health. So what can we do? First and foremost, pray for mercy on our broken society and for strength for the church to be the church today. Second, we must be quick to listen and slow to speak, especially to those with whom we share Christ but not experiences as citizens. And finally, we must only look to the gospel, the only force capable of bringing restoration to broken lives and communities. With today's point, I'm John Stone Street.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about restoration today in our lives and in our communities. And one of the ways we can experience restoration is by applying ourselves to one of the key Ten Commandments. And that is going to be our conversation in the moments ahead. And looking forward to welcoming back Dr. Matthew Sleeth to the broadcast. Dr. Sleeth is a former emergency room physician. He resigned from his position as chief of the medical staff and director of the ER to teach, preach, and write about faith and the environment. And since founding Blessed Earth, he's spoken at churches and schools throughout the country. He's written the book Serve God and Save the Planet, A Christian Call to Action. And the book that we want to reference is his second one called 24-6, A Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. And Dr. Sleeth, his wife Nancy, live in Kentucky, and we chatted with him not too long ago and wanted to have him back to just review this important subject. Matthew, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Great to be back with you.
We're going to talk about Sabbath because, rest in our world doesn't seem like they go hand in hand. We are busy. We're just going all the time, and people have just come off a weekend where if they were probably to look back and add up the minutes, they didn't get there wasn't a lot of Sabbath in it. We're going to talk about that important commandment, but maybe just to start, give us maybe an assessment of our success as a nation in the rest, renew, and reverence department. How are we doing?
I guess if I was a teacher, I'd grade us a C minus. And I'm a liberal grader. I don't think we're doing very well in the rest. I think that lots of studies show that we're working more, we're multitasking more, and at reverence, if you want to put that in the list, I think we're probably failing, many of us. And yet, even in that, we have to always remember that there's 7,000 people the prophet didn't even know about that hadn't bowed their knee to the wrong God in Israel. So, but I would say culturally that we are valuing things that are not necessarily things we're told to value in Scripture. And one of the things we're told to value is time with God and time where we're not being human doings, but we're being human beings. So I think we're not doing well in that category.
And maybe we'll have you share a little bit of your own sort of life and experience, how this has come to be so important and meaningful for you. And hopefully, as your example, will encourage us as well. But I've kind of forgotten, reading through the book again, 24-6, that you report on a study on walking speeds in cities, kind of as a barometer of health. Say a little bit more about that. That was interesting.
Well, the a number of studies have been done where they time people how long it takes them to walk 60 feet or longer, and the times are not only speeding up, but they are they're much quicker in the cities that you might expect to be where people are really, really on the go. Singapore is way up high. Our New York City is very high. And so we're speeding up over time. All of us are. And I'm not sure we're getting anywhere any faster. Not sure that the meaning of life is seeing how fast we can get through it. We're confronted with so many things that we should worry about and we can worry about, and it can be overwhelming, particularly in this day and age where, it used to be a paper would come out once a day, and if a war started or something, there might be a special edition.
we get updates every few seconds on the web about news. And if we don't have some way of getting that into context, some way of dealing with it, which is God's way of dealing with it, we can be overwhelmed. This isn't a new phenomenon that people are overwhelmed with worries and that sort of thing. Jesus is talking about this. People are worried about their clothing, their food, tuition for college, etc. And he tells us that the first thing we're supposed to do is seek the kingdom of heaven. Then all that other stuff will fall into place behind it. And so in speaking about Sabbath, which is focused on God, I think that we're able to help people begin to seek the kingdom of heaven first. And now we won't worry about all those people weren't walking really fast. We're worried about seeking heaven ourselves now for a few minutes and talking about that, if that's okay.
We'll talk about a prescription for a healthier, happier life with Dr. Matthew Sleeth. Matthew Sleeth is former emergency room physician, and he and his wife started Blessed Earth. It's a ministry to help us understand better creation care, and including the pinnacle of God's creation, you and me. Are we taking the time to rest, putting life in balance and perspective? Are we honoring the Lord, revering Him as we should? We'll talk about it in the moments ahead. In fact, we'll review that important commandment, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. More on that with Dr. Matthew Sleeth coming up in a moment. Do want to just mention that we do have several copies, I think three copies of his wonderful book to give away. And it might be just the summer reading that you need. So I'd encourage you to call us up and sign up for that. We'll do a drawing at the end of the hour, and you can be a part of it at 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. And if you want to get a good prescription for a healthier, happier life, the doctor is in and taking your calls today. So join with us, 877-933-2484. Getting our rhythm back today. The commandment, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, is the only commandment that begins with the word remember, almost as if God knew we would forget. And apparently we have. Dr. Matthew Sleeth is helping us to remember and talk more about it, how we can experience a healthier, happier life. We're talking about his book, 24-6. Matthew is author of the critically acclaimed Serve God, Save the Planet, and he's also the founder of Blessed Earth, a nonprofit organization that focuses on creation care. And we're talking today about Sabbath, and maybe it would be good, Matthew, to review. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is the longest of the Ten Commandments, and it doesn't seem like it gets long on attention.
It doesn't. And Neil, you read some scripture. Do you mind if I just read the commandment
to
the listener?
No, that'd be wonderful. Yeah,
the commandment, the Sabbath commandment, shows up many times in scripture. It's repeated a number of times in full, but I'm going to do it from Exodus 20 here, starting on verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Any questions? It's a beautiful commandment. It's a commandment that's unique, as you said, and that begins with the word remember. But it's a commandment that's unique in that it spells out so many groups that God is trying to protect here and provide for. So it's not just the reader and it's not just the hearer. It's for children who can't read yet. It's for people who don't necessarily believe in God, the sojourner in the land. It's for servants, and we don't have servants per se these days, but we have people who make, you know, very low wages and that sort of thing, and even the livestock. And so it's a very broad-reaching law, really, that God is giving us. And, of course, living on this side of the cross, we're freed from any condemnation per se of breaking the law, but we're never freed from the intent behind those laws, which God gave. All those laws are still perfect in their own way. And so it's one that I think that we ought to review and to think about the need and the timeliness for it. We live in a day and age where I have no idea what kind of phone I'm going to be talking to you on in 20 years. Who would have guessed, you know, that the technology would change so much? I have no idea what medicine is going to be like in 20 years. I have, you know, no idea what kind of our cars might be all driving themselves. But this law came into being on the seventh day of creation. And it is really the way heaven is going to be, you know. And keeping the Sabbath is not a condition of getting into heaven. It's just the condition heaven is in if we get there. So I think it's a really important thing. And I've just found that in my life as a Christian, I've been a Christian about 13 years or so, then it's just been a time of plugging back into the power source that's guaranteed to happen once a week. And so I found it to be just a lovely thing.
You actually sort of got into Sabbath keeping. I mean, your wife was Jewish when you first married her, right? And so, but you were
correct.
you were working as an ER doctor, going nonstop. So, talk about maybe your own journey into this. You kind of came by it not straight on, I guess. Right?
Sure, it was I could say an accident. I'm sure that if I meet the Lord someday, he would say, "You really think that was an accident?" Of course, getting into medical school residency, these are times of great amount of work, and then emergency medicine doesn't stop. It goes around the clock 7 days a week. When I began to really realize there was something wrong in life and began looking for answers, really searching for the Lord, we began to keep a Sabbath. And that was just a fluke of how the scheduling at the emergency department went. And I gave the schedule. I was the chief kind of in charge there. I gave the schedule to somebody else to do so I wouldn't give myself all the good days or whatever. And they promptly scheduled me to work every single Sunday so they could go to church. And the other person, and so that meant that every Saturday I wasn't working. And so on that day, we started really what began to be a sort of a sacred rhythm. My wife had grown up as a Jew, so that wasn't an abnormal thing in her culture. As we became Christians, one after the other, we moved that to Sunday, to the Lord's Day. Simply keeping a day of rest, even though initially we didn't believe in God, gave us the time and the space to start looking for it, I believe. There's only one person in Scripture who introduces themselves to the Lord as being busy, and that's in the beginning of Job when Satan comes before the Lord and he says, "I've been going up and down, to and fro." Satan wants us to be like him. God is a man of peace. In Christ, we see that. So we begin to fall into that rhythm. Eventually, I got a Bible in my hand. I read it and met Christ in the book of Matthew. And as I've come to know Christ more, I know that he wants to give us this peace in our lives so that from that base we can go forward and do ministry and minister to people who don't have much peace in their life.
Just maybe a couple of questions. Does it have to be on a Sunday? And what do we mean when we say Sabbath? Is it just a matter of taking some time off once a week?
I'll start with the word Sabbath. Sabbath is really defined as stopping, being set apart. And this comes from, in the Hebrew, many of the words sound like what they are. So when we say shh to a child or a baby or something, that's that sound, Sabbath or Shabbat, shh, and it's also the sound for peace. So there's this beautiful kind of peacefulness even around the word of Sabbath. It also means to be called apart. We're supposed to be a little different than the rest of society. I don't think it's important per se, whether it's Saturday or whether it's Sunday, or if you're somebody that has to work Saturday and Sunday, or a firefighter or something like that. I think if you do your Sabbath every Monday, that's fine too. I really think it's the intent behind it. I tell most people that means Sunday, and the Lord wants us together and rejoice together. So Sabbath is not just a day off. It's not just a day of kicking back and doing what you want. It's also made for fellowship, I believe, with other humans in the Lord. And so for most people in the United States, that's going to mean Sunday.
There was argument, obviously, in the New Testament, the Gospels, we read about, the question about the Sabbath. Was man made for the Sabbath, or the Sabbath for man? Let's say more about that.
Yes. By the time Christ had come along, the Sabbath, which was given as a gift to the Hebrew people, and by the way, no people around the planet have ever come up with a Sabbath other than those who got it from the Hebrews. This is it's kind of proof of God, if you will, that we can't come up with this on our own. And so the Hebrews had this one day a week, and it set them apart, and it helped them to begin to know the Lord. But by the time Christ had come along, there were so many rules and regulations around it, how far could you walk, et cetera, that it had become perverted. And Christ is constantly teaching on the Sabbath. He does a majority of his miracles on the Sabbath. It's not an accident. And all of those miracles are of one kind. On the Sabbath, he does not walk across water. He doesn't feed people. Every one of the miracles he does on Sabbath is a healing. And he's really pointing out that this day was meant to heal us, not the other way around. And of course, Christ is the Lord of Sabbath. And so when we read that, we need to pay very close attention, because this is the owner and originator of the day who's showing us how to do it. And so it's really worthwhile to reread the Gospels and pay attention to what's happening on Sabbath.
We'll review it more and get into some specifics. We'll even talk about, how do we deal with all the sporting events and activities that are happening on Sundays. It seems like that's the only day that activity goes on now. Talking with Matthew Sleeth today about 24-6, a prescription for a healthier, happier life. We've got some copies of this wonderful book to give away. You can sign up for a copy of that for the drawing at 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. We'll talk more with Dr. Matthew Sleeth in just a moment.
So you don't have to work so hard, you can rest easy. You don't have to prove yourself, you're already mine. You don't have to hide.
Now, remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy is actually one of the commandments. We don't do very well at it, do we? How do you find rest in a 24/7 world? The Hebrews were slaves in Egypt. We become slaves to technology, and we're trying to find a prescription for a healthier, happier life. Former emergency room doctor Matthew Sleeth is with us today, and so he's doing the diagnosis. We're talking about his book, 24-6, and we do have some copies to give away. I'd love to have you join the conversation. If you'd like as well, you can sign up for a copy and give us a call at 877-933-2484. Matthew, just say a word about maybe how long it takes to slow down. I think when people go on vacation, and maybe some are heading for vacation this week, It seems like it takes several days before you really get to unwind, and some maybe never really do. Does that mean that we're running on adrenaline this whole time? And that's not really very healthy for us, is it?
I think we are running on fumes, and I found that one of the advantages of for me and my family and other people who are really beginning to practice the Sabbath is that it trains you how to downshift a lot quicker. And because as you begin to know the Sabbath and you know that it is a time of rest and renewal, you get better at kind of dropping your cares at the door, as it were. And so I think it has benefits for people, whether or not they're going on vacation or just whether they're entering into Sabbath every week, that you really learn the skill. We live in a day and age where we have all this confidence and not really a lot of skill sometimes to back it up. And you know, many studies show people think they can do all kinds of things, and in fact, they can't. I think that the same applies even for resting and coming into sync with the Lord, that it really requires some practice. And Sabbath is a once-a-week reminder of how to take our hands off the wheel and leave some of the driving to somebody else, mainly God.
You know, you use the word, I mean, the skill. Most of us would think, well, what kind of skill is there? Does it take to rest or to Sabbath? So what would you say? How do we actually get into this rhythm if we haven't been practicing it up until now?
Oh, I'd say it's absolutely a skill. It's interesting that if you look at how people talked about Sabbath breakers 200 and 300 years ago, they always saw that in the rubric of people who were slothful. People who would not keep Sabbath fell under being slothful. They didn't know how to do it. They didn't want to take the time to learn, that sort of thing. And so it's a skill that's learned. For people who are totally overwhelmed by the idea of 24 hours of rest, I tell them now to start with four. Say every Sunday from 8 till noon, or pick some time, 4 hours that's set aside, and begin practicing with that. Ask the Lord to bless it. Ask the Lord to increase it for you. Because some people, it's just so overwhelming, 24 hours without a schedule, without work, without entertainment is just overwhelming to them. So start slowly. We've got on our website, the sabbathliving.org, testimonies from families. There's one family that said the first 3 weeks we tried it, it was awful. They said, we thought we were going to have, you know, flying unicorns and leprechauns, and it was going to be great. And, you know, they have, it's a large family of kids. They said it was awful. But then they say 6 months into it, it's a totally different thing. Now they know how to stop, and now they're going and ministering out of fullness, not out of running on the fumes.
We'll ask you to maybe say more about that as we go along, but say a word about one of the, I know, big questions that you get, and I think we all deal with is the Sunday events going on now in terms of sports. You know, we want our kids to enjoy, you know, physical activity, but it seems like Sunday has become the day where all the games and the practices and everything happen.
You know, that's interesting. It isn't something I really discussed in 24/6. I didn't understand the extent of it. And to be honest, 3/4 of my time now is spent teaching pastors. I'm leaving here. I'm going to North Carolina. I'm teaching a group of pastors. That's just what I do. And they say, you know, you used to get a kid through high school. They'd go off to college, and they would, many of them would come back, and they'd lost their faith. And they said, we kind of lost them to sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Now the pastors say we lose them at 8 and 9 to traveling teams, and they're gone. Their parents have taught them that is the number one priority in our lives, is to get you on this team. And so it's a big challenge to the church. It's a big challenge to people's faith, but it's not a new challenge. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he talked about this, because games and sporting were so important to the Roman culture. And Paul talks about how people work so hard to get a crown made out of leaves that are wilted by the time you get home. We're supposed to be working for a crown that never fades, a crown that we can cast on the ground in front of the Lord. And that's to be our priority. So we're not facing a new challenge here. Paul, in his letters, even tells people not to become uncircumcised. A lot of folks today aren't aware that the reason to become uncircumcised in Paul's world was so you could compete in games. You couldn't compete in most of the games if you were circumcised. So they could literally do plastic surgery 2,000 years ago to become uncircumcised. Paul says, don't even think about that. Don't consider it. Competing for that fake trophy is a false god, really. I'm not saying that I'm not for activity. I'm not for people, you know, taking good care of their bodies. I'm a physician. I know how important that is. I've lost 40 pounds in the last 10 years. I get healthier and healthier every year. I understand how important movement and activity is, but that's different than competing for a false crown, a false idol that will fade. We're supposed to be worried about eternal things. And so I think many parents today are facing a difficult battle, and that is, which God do we serve first? I know of a soccer league in Southwest Florida where the parents got fed up with this, and they started one, and it's a very large league, and none of the teams will compete on Sunday. There are ways around this. But I think that's getting around it, and I think, in fact, we have to take it head on and say, maybe you're going to have to decide, and maybe a great time to teach a child what is the most important God to be served. Is when they're 8 and 9 years old. That the number one point of parenting, and I think in getting a child, is that that child loves the Lord, believes the Bible, and is set apart, is holy. So there's some tough things that people are facing, and there's no beating around the bush that sporting events and those types of things are actively competing with the church for business today.
Your kids, I'm sure, wrestled with it. You did, I'm sure, as well when your kids were younger. How much gets done on a Sabbath day? I mean, if you didn't get to the store, do you need to get to the store? If there's a school assignment, how did you work through some of that?
Well, we became Christians when our children were teenagers, and we took the Bible seriously. And, you know, and I've never gotten in trouble doing it. And so I've never gotten in trouble parenting. So my kids were raised as pagans up until the time they were 12, 13, 14 years old, right around there. And we began taking the Sabbath commandment seriously. Sunday was a day for going to church, coming home, goofing off, reading, taking naps, reading books, playing board games, that sort of thing. But it was not a day for study or sports. And my children had to drop out of some of the sporting things. They had to not study on that day. I'm going to brag. My kids are all completely done with their education. My son just finished his residency. Mm. He's going to be boarded in internal medicine and pediatrics, and he and his wife will move to Africa, and they'll be missionary doctors. And during that entire process, he has kept one Sabbath day a week where he hasn't studied. He hasn't worked. It's been difficult, but he's done it. He graduated first in his high school class, first in his college class, first in his residency now. And so it can be done. And to him, that's to glorify the Lord. So if you think your child's going to end up, unable to be employed or unpopular, so that sort of thing, I can tell you firsthand from my children's experience that they did extremely well. And part of the reason was the Sabbath taught them to get their priorities straight. They had to get their studying done before that day. And then they had something no other kid had really. They had a day off. They had a day where they were not judged on their work, but they were just in the presence of the Lord and kind of praying and playing. And so I can tell you that it can be done. I don't think it's the easiest thing, but the rewards for things that we do are hard are actually some of the best rewards we get.
You mentioned that, the word prioritizing a couple times. Is this really just, I mean, when it comes down to it, is this simply just a matter of re-prioritizing?
I think it is. I think it's I think a similar type of discipline, if you will, is giving. I think if a family has financial trouble, the first thing you ought to do is start tithing. I think that that sets the priority of God first. And I think that right now, we, if you will, we have kind of time poverty in our lives. Everybody would like to have an extra day in the week. And instead of doing our priorities, I think setting one day aside for the Lord gets all the others in perspective. So I think it is a matter of prioritizing. I think that to me, as I read Christ and he's saying, you know, choose the big thing here. If you want your life, you're going to lose it. If you give it up, you're going to get it. And so God's ways are counterintuitive to humans. And I found that sometimes the best thing to do is just do them and watch what happens. Kind of like, because my father said so. Even if you don't understand fully.
You just before I let you go, I know you've been, as you said, doing a lot of teaching to pastors. Pastors aren't immune from, I guess, you know, not keeping Sabbath either, and something where they can really be helpful in building this kind of culture and community within their church body.
They can. We have some stats on 2,000 pastors in North Carolina we work with specifically. When we started working with that group about 2+ years ago, 9% in some way observed the Sabbath. We've got that up to about a third. Surprisingly, their spiritual life is getting better. I don't think a pastor can do this in isolation of who the pastor serves. And I don't think the congregation can ignore the importance of Sabbath and expect to make it as a church in the long haul. So I think this is something that should be preached from the pulpit, but should be reinforced from the pew, if you will.
Matthew, it's always good to talk with you. We're just encouraged by the good work you're doing and just the wise bedside manner. I guess that helps a lot, too. So thank you for your good word for us today.
Hey, it's great to be on the show, and my blessings to your listeners as they wrestle with this, and hopefully God will put it on their heart to explore this a little more deeply.
I encourage you to go to sabbathliving.org for some more resources, sabbathliving.org. Talking to Dr. Matthew Sleeth, who is author of the critically acclaimed Serve God, Save the Planet, and also founder of Blessed Earth. It's a nonprofit organization focuses on creation care. He and his wife Nancy live in Kentucky, and they've been practicing Sabbath for a number of years and has written about it in the book 24-6, A Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. Joining us today on Connecting Faith. We're going to take a short break, hear a little bit of music. We'll come back and do some takeaways. Invite you to join the conversation as well at 877-933-2484.
Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy love. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole. Oh, how great thy love
is. Ready, set, go. It's another wild day when the stress is on. Just breathe.
come and rest at my feet and be, just be.
That's a good word, isn't it? Just breathe. Learn to step back, to rest, to wait on the Lord, talking about Sabbath today. And resting, reprioritizing a little bit, time for a little bit of feedback. I had a good conversation with Dr. Matthew Sleeth. What are you thinking, Ted?
Yeah, you know, I like what he said about go back and read the Gospels and be aware of Sabbath in the Gospels and what the disciples did, what Jesus did and said on the Sabbath. I think I might do that. Interesting exercise.
Krista, what are you thinking?
Yeah, Dr. Sleeth brought up just a good point to just go back to the Bible and just what God is asking for is just one day that we devote our lives to Him, to rest in His presence and to just really hear from Him. And if you think about it, throughout the week, the world is trying to steal our attention constantly. And so we really have to be intentional about giving our time to God. And just one day a week, it doesn't seem that hard, so we can hold each other accountable, you guys.
Yeah, he said you start with 4 hours, right? So, I mean, if you know, can I maybe have to work into it, something you've not been doing?
Sure. So I get the afternoon off, is it?
Yeah. No. And how would that be different?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
No pay, Ted.
No, sure.
Yeah, right. There's that.
I appreciate what he said. He talked about he's the only one person that was listed as busy in the Bible. You know, Satan and Job, he's busy going around the earth. And, you know,
that's right.
He wants us to follow his steps. Jesus was a man of peace. And I liked what he said that, you know, all the miracles that he did on the Sabbath were about healing, and that if we actually engage in this, we're going to find healing for our bodies as well.
So. Amen.
And I also liked when he was talking about how the Sabbath is a time for fellowship as well, so it's not like we have to isolate ourselves with our families and our homes. We can be with other believers and just get back to the basics of our faith and why we believe what we believe, and just really help build each other up.
Yeah, encourage, relax, recharge.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's it. You may have a thought, a comment, some feedback, a takeaway. Love to hear from you anytime at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. We also like to take an opportunity to get a look at the topic from a different lens, and it wasn't too long ago that I guess it was back in September, Joe Bender talked with Dan Allender about his book, Sabbath, the Ancient Practices, and they talked about the issue of taking time.
A lot of people are so crunched and busy and hurried, and they don't take the time to even enjoy delight in the Lord. Do you find that that is a main complaint or a main challenge that people have with the concept of coming to a practice of Sabbath in their life?
I do. And it's, I mean, even the verb, take time. Well, we don't take time. Time is actually a created reality that we are meant to honor and submit to. In the same way that, you know, you can submit to a rock by acknowledging it's too big for you to pick up. So time is one of those realities where if we understand that we can't add a cubit, we can't take away a cubit. We've been given time, and that would be the key verb I would offer. I use the phrase you use all the time. I can't take time for that. Mm-hmm. And my wife, who is really the one, my wife Becky, is the presence of Sabbath, the one who has asked me to consider it, write about it, live it. So the word she'll always use is not the word take time, but the idea that we have been given time. And as a gift, we get to determine with that gift how we want to use it for the sake of the one who gave it to us. So if we see time not as ours to take, but as something we receive that is given, then the question is, do you have enough time? Well, are you kidding? I have all the time in the world to do what God desires. But what keeps us from doing that, I think, boils down to a simple word, idolatry. We feel pressure, but we also serve idols that demand that we be 24/7. always moving, always committed, always doing this work. So it can be a job, it can be a family, it can be children that we feel like we have to be on for, and that there really is not time to Sabbath. Well, that's like saying you don't have time to be faithful. You don't have time to engage God. In and of itself, let's just say it's ridiculous.
A good word from Dan Allender, talking about his book, Sabbath, The Ancient Practices. Talked with Joe Bender, and you can find more about that on the Connecting Faith show page as well at myfaithradio.com. We're talking about Sabbath, about resting, reprioritizing. It seems like midsummer is a good time to do that.
Yes.
In the midst of all that's going on, to, as the old hymn says, Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art, and I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. We're not going to really find out the greatness of God until we learn to rest in him.
It's true. And I think for some people, resting means getting a good workout in and exercising, Neil.
Yeah.
Well, we have a unique opportunity for you to get fit and exercise your faith muscles a little bit, too.
We're going to tell you about that in a minute because we want you to sign up. So maybe go to the website, myfaithradio.com, and we'll tell you more about the Live Free Challenge just ahead.
For musician J.J. Weeks, something his mother said about starting his day off right really stuck with him. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas, and J.J. says giving his day to the Lord every morning is an exciting way to live.
I grew up in a really good home, and so my mom, years ago, came to me and she said, son, you got to give God your day before you step out of bed. When you wake up, you say, God, today's yours. Help me to handle the tough situations the way I should, and enjoy the celebrations the way I should. And today, God, let people see you in me. And so that would be my prayer. Every morning I'd wake up, I would say, God, whatever I face today, just let them see you in me. And that was my prayer every single morning for years before I got out of bed.
You too can pray for opportunities to be a light for Jesus Christ. Perhaps you need some help getting started. Go to makingyourlifecount.com.
You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we want you to connect with us this month in preparation for a month of activity coming up next month. We're talking about the Live Free Challenge. It's a challenge to become fit and also to extend and to grow our faith.
And you can do this in a variety of ways. You can walk, run, ride bike. We're raising money for rescue and intervention and rehabilitation of sex trafficking victims and human slavery. We're trying to put an end to that.
And it's happening through a partnership with International Justice Mission. And so what we're asking you to do today is to sign up online, and you just commit to how much you're going to do in terms of your physical fitness. And you can pledge dollars, get others to pledge in support of that. And we're looking to see if we could raise $50,000 to rescue lives and transform a community through International Justice Mission.
Having a goal really helps for fitness. I know if you're trying to just, you know, lose a certain amount of weight or just to be consistent in your exercise, it's a good way to maybe jumpstart that for you this August. So don't wait till the new year. You can do it now.
No, that's right. So it's our Faith and Fitness Challenge. We call it Live Free. And we're excited about the opportunity. So we're looking for sign-ups this month, and then next month you'll get kind of regular updates, email encouragement as you go along, and we'll be able to just kind of track the progress. So it's the sign-up month now, and just decide how you'd like to get involved. Go on the website to check it out and see kind of what that page can look like, and you can use your social media to pass the word along.
Right there at myfaithradio.com on our main page, the Live Free Challenge, myfaithradio.com.
All right. Coming up tomorrow here on Connecting Faith, we're going to talk about the vision, about being mean about the vision. We don't really like to be mean about anything, but this is about preserving and protecting what matters. Now, that's pretty important. So we'll review words like determined, resolute, and intentional, and what it means to be mean about the vision. Sean Lovejoy is our guest. He's got a new book on that title and that topic, and so we'll entertain that tomorrow. Hope that you'll be with us then. If you missed part of today's show, want to pass it on to a friend. You know, all our interviews are posted online at our Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, and they're all shareable as well. So I encourage you to check that out and pass it on and be a radio missionary with us. And thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.